This is All Things Considered on NHPR. I'm Peter Biello. A group of lawmakers tasked with studying student violence in New Hampshire says that cases of reported assault against public school educators have doubled since 2015. We don't often hear stories of teachers being injured by their students, but the lawmakers and educators say it's an issue that needs more attention. NHPR's Sarah Gibson has been reporting on this, and she's with me now. Welcome, Sarah.
Thanks, Peter.
So let's start with these numbers. The Department of Labor data show a doubling of reported assault cases against educators from 2015 to 2018. Are we seeing an actual increase in violence or just an increase in reporting?
Well, that is the question that I've asked a lot of people, and I think it's probably a little bit of both. The DOL says they think a lot of this increase in reporting is because there's a little bit of a cultural shift where teachers are starting to think about their own safety as part of school safety at large. So they're starting to say when someone bites them during a tantrum or when a student is having a meltdown and either threatens harm to themselves or to another student or to the teacher, that counts as an incident. So some of it is a shift in reporting. And I've also heard from educators that there is a shift in behavior. One could attribute it to a lot of things. Some people say social media exposure. Others say the opioid crisis and trauma at home is leading to behavioral issues in the classroom. So I think it's a little bit of both.
And as part of your reporting on this, you spoke to BOE Superintendent Dean Cascadden. Let's hear what he had to say.
Where people are mostly getting injured, it's not the intentional acts of an older, rational student, but it's from our younger students or our emotionally or cognitively impaired students. So, you know, as you're trying to manage a student who doesn't have control of their body or doesn't have control of their emotions, people are getting hurt.
And so I think it's important to note that we're not just talking about injuries from students who maybe have an IEP or a special education plan. I've talked to educators who say this is kind of a larger issue. We're not going to just say it's a paraeducator getting bruised because there's a student with special needs who gets really angry. That's not just what we're talking about. It's a much wider issue.
And this report shows that there are inconsistencies in reporting violence against teachers. For example, the Department of Education and the Department of Labor had conflicting data on the number of cases reported. What is the current process for reporting, or are there many processes?
There are so many processes,
okay.
Yeah. So if you have a workplace injury, you are supposed to file it with the DOL, the Department of Labor, and then the DOE and schools have really different requirements and criterion for what constitutes violence. So we're talking about anything from violent incidents that involve injury or harassment and bullying, weapons possession, illicit drugs. There's a ton of stuff that you're supposed to report to the DOE. But when this committee looked at DOL numbers and DOE numbers, they did not necessarily match. So there's clearly something getting lost in translation. And right now, we do not have a good statewide sense of how often violent incidents are happening.
And so is part of the goal here to unify the standards for reporting and make sure that those numbers always match?
That is part of the goal. And also, it's worth noting that there are currently allegations that districts are actually discouraging educators from making incident reports. So, for instance, right now, the Keene Educators Association has a complaint against their district saying paraeducators and other teachers are consistently being injured, and that's not getting reported because it might make the district look bad. So the goal with this committee is to ensure that there is a statewide consensus on how reporting happens, both to the DOL and the DOE.
What about understanding the use of restraint in schools? Did this committee have anything to say about that?
They sure did. There is clearly a ton of confusion from educators about what they are and are not allowed to do. And it was pretty interesting during these committee meetings. Educators said, we don't even know if we're allowed to, you know, touch a student to calm them down or to evacuate them from a room. And disability rights advocates said, actually, there's some clarity. You just need better training on what is and what is not allowed. You're allowed to defend yourself if you feel there's a real threat of violence. And you're also allowed to escort a student out of the room if they're threatening violence to themselves or others. So one of the recommendations of this committee is to have far better training for educators on what the restraint law actually means and what it does and does not allow them to do.
So better training, unified definition of when to report and how. What else did this committee recommend?
They also called for something that was actually called for in bills that did not get much leverage this past year, Democrat-sponsored bills, things like multi-tiered system of supports for behavior, basically saying, okay, it looks like we're having an increase in behavioral issues. It's often students who are experiencing trauma at home. We need to figure out better ways to support them when they're in the school. There's also, it sounds like there's going to be a proposed bill in this next legislative session to amend the Safe Schools Zone Act to include reporting of acts of violence against employees, volunteers, or visitors, and to ensure that school boards have access to that data.
NHPR's Sarah Gibson, thank you very much for speaking with me about this.
You're welcome.